Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want to punch you in your throat.
The heat is on, baby.
I want to punch you in your throat. He's running me hot. Earlier in the show, we had a radio guy from Oklahoma City on, and he played Will Smith, Welcome to Miami. And I said, that is, like, I don't even, are you trying to impress the Oklahoma guys?
Ah, we're about Miami, man. Miami Heat, you
but
know?
But no, we've never played this stuff. Like, that's the part where you go, we're all about Miami. We are, but we are, you know, with Lil Uzi. It doesn't matter if the heat is on. Like, it doesn't.
I guess you're not feeling the heat, man. The heat is on tonight.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's provocative, though.
That's why he's been with the same woman his whole life.
Man, you embarrassed me in front of two Oklahoma people
today. I bet you they like it.
They're being polite.
Eric is big time for Lero.
Somebody texts in before we get to Eric here. Somebody texts in talking about Melo. Will you guys stop it? He was the third option in OKC. Who was guarding the Thunder's third option? Really? You're going to take minutes from the future to give it to someone who won't be here long and just collecting money? Hawk, I hope you don't run your household this way. All I would say to you, and I did text the guy back, I said, hey, if you're taking minutes from James Johnson, Josh Richardson, or Bam Adebayo, do you think either one of them is going to play in an all-star game in their entire careers?
No.
James Johnson's not. We know what James Johnson is.
Yeah.
Josh Richardson's not. Bam Adebayo? No. He's not Joel Embiid.
It's funny, the future, is that really the future?
That's what I'm saying. So you're going to take a few minutes away from those guys? Like, I don't think you're cutting short the next career of Michael Jordan.
You bad-mouthing him, huh?
Of who?
The Jay Rich.
Not bad-mouthing, but, I mean, let's be honest as to what they are. And Carmelo is better than anyone on this team.
Offensively, I'd agree with you. Yes.
We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline here, talk with Eric Horn. He is the Thunder beat writer for the Oklahoman. Very sorry about the Heat Is On song. That was not our choice.
Man, that song goes in, man. I love that song.
See, you're being polite.
There you go.
You're being polite.
Don't apologize for the Heat. Whose pick was that? Who picked that?
Falero. No, it was Falero, our producer.
Okay.
Crowder hasn't picked a song that I can understand in 3 years.
He's not a fan of Pastor Troy, Eric.
Yeah, I don't know Pastor Troy, Project Pat, all the
you
other
like
stuff.
Project Pat?
I just don't understand anything that you're playing for me. What was Carmelo like? The 1 year experience in OKC for Carmelo Anthony was what, Eric Horn?
Entertaining. Look. I think you guys, if Miami were to get Carmelo in some way, shape, or form, would be entertained with him on and off the court. The guy he's fun to be around. He brings a levity to the game, to the locker room. I think he did wonders for Russell Westbrook, not just taking stress off of him on the floor, because Russell had that 1 year where he was basically doing a lot of everything, carrying the offense. But he took stress off of Russell Westbrook in the locker room, because that guy was always wanted to talk to us and be candid with us and kind of, you know, add some levity to the situation. So it's interesting. It's always interesting with Carmelo Anthony. We joke around here, we call him the most interesting man in the world. You're not always going to get efficient basketball with him, but you're not going to be short of excitement.
And, Eric, I'm offensively, like I said, Melo would probably be our biggest threat on the offense as soon as he signed. But my biggest thing, and you explain this to me, why do I want a guy on my team that OKC is paying $20 million not to be on their team?
Well, the biggest benefit for Miami would be able to get off of some long-term money. The Heat are in cap hell for the next two or three seasons, the same way the Thunder are. So if you take on Melo's one season of $28 million now and you say send back a guy like Johnson or Deion Waiters or Josh Richardson, and by the way, Josh Richardson, I think the Thunder would love to get their hands on a two-way guy like him who's from Oklahoma, who comes at a relatively cheap price. I mean, that would be the benefit for the Heat to me, to kind of get off as a long-term contract. It's not going to make your team any better, but it's going to help you, you know, in the next couple of seasons, particularly going into 19 and 20, because you're going to have some big-name free agents that are on the market then. You're going to have some more cap flexibility because you're going to have that long money off your books if you acquire a guy like Melo.
Eric Horn, Thunder beat writer from the Oklahoman, is with us. That would be because there's two scenarios where the Heat could potentially end up with Carmelo. One would be a trade where we clear some salary cap hell and you guys get him off the books, because you're gonna, if no one trades for him, they're gonna buy him out, right?
Yeah.
That's, so
that's the plan.
So there's two options for the Heat. To me, they're both winning options, because if you get him for a year and you have to eat his salary for a year, you're still getting rid of some of the ballast on your salary cap books. And if you get him, you know, after Oklahoma City buys him out, you're going to get him for the veterans minimum at $2.5 million. So either way, to me, it works out for the Heat. And I know there's a lot of conjecture that Carmelo might want to go play in Houston. I can make the case that it actually behooves him to play in Miami, that Houston is similar to what he experienced in OKC, and it didn't really fit or suit him. If he comes to Miami, he can look at this team and say, hey, they were a 6 seed without me. I go there, maybe they're a 4 seed. Maybe we have home court advantage, and certainly in the East without LeBron, it's an easier path to maybe make some magic happen.
Yeah, you know, that would be an advantage of Miami. You know, the East is weakened right now. He could go over there. He'd probably have more say in terms of his touches. You have a guy in Eric Spoelstra who's no slouch in terms of getting the most offensively out of guys, so he'd be a guy who'd be cool to play for. With Houston, you know, he'd be with Chris Paul. He'd be with James Harden. I think he'd get great looks there, too, because those guys command so much attention. But I think in either place, he stands to improve from Oklahoma City. I think he'd be with a better coaching staff in Miami, and I think he'd be around better players in Houston. So I don't think he stands to lose either way. And the biggest win for Carmelo is he's getting his money regardless. So that's the thing for him. He's going to get $28 million, so he can afford to play for the vets minimum, whether it's in Houston or Miami. So he's going to have to choose between South Beach or, you know, potentially making a run at a Western Conference championship.
Eric, is Melo, is he realistic about his age and his, we'll call it, maturing game?
He wasn't in Oklahoma City. I think that he may be, if he gets with a Dwayne Wade, if he gets with a Chris Paul, if he gets with a LeBron James, because those guys are guys that are close to him. Those are guys that are probably going to be realistic with him and know how to speak to him in terms of his ego. And that's not to say that he didn't get along with Russell Westbrook and Paul George. I think they had a good relationship. But I think that the dynamic is different here than it would be, you know, playing with those guys that are closer to him. So I don't think he quite understood or had that self-awareness of what, you know, he could potentially be here. But I think elsewhere he could fit into a place a little bit better. I particularly think that his numbers would have improved dramatically if he played in Houston.
Most of us, the only real exposure we got to Melo on a long-term basis in Oklahoma City was the playoff series. Like Crowder and I, that's, you know, we caught some OKC games here and there, but we really didn't really watch that team until the playoff series. And he looked, I mean, he looked like he didn't belong on a basketball court. Was that representative of what you saw during the season?
Defensively, yes.
Yeah.
He wasn't great defensively throughout the season. Andre Robertson was such a good defender when he was on the floor for the Thunder that he made a lot of the other guys better around him. When they lost Andre Robertson, they even started to show some deterioration before Andre Robertson got hurt. But look, even with Melo on the floor, the Thunder, I think, was one of maybe 4 or 5 teams in the league that finished with a top-10 offense and top-10 defense. He's not a complete liability. He's a liability defensively. But there are only a few of those guys in the league that can go get you 16, 17 points just out of nothing. He's a guy who can still create a shot. He's a guy who'd still be valuable in a playoff series offensively. And I think you just have to find ways to mask him defensively. And you have to coerce him and to be able to play fewer minutes at power forward and understand that, look, you have to make this sacrifice in order to make our team better because you're just going to kill us defensively.
And Pat Riley, you would think, would be one of those guys that could get through to him.
Yeah. I think that Pat Riley is a strong enough personality to where you would think that he and Dwayne Wade, I mean, if Dwayne Wade were to re-sign with Miami, that those guys would be able to coerce Carmelo to take kind of a role that, you know, not only helps the team, but, look, it would help preserve Carmelo Anthony, too. You don't need him playing 30, 35 minutes a game. He needs to be in that, you know, 20 to 25 range, 25 at the max, and you need to have guys like James Johnson out there playing defense at power forward.
Where would he be in the Miami Heat's, like, pantheon of talent? If he came to this Heat team, Carmelo, with this current roster construct, you've got Goran Dragic, Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, Dwayne Wade, assuming he's back, James Johnson, Bam Adebayo, Hassan Whiteside. Is Carmelo, at his age right now, based on what you saw last season, the biggest offensive threat on the Heat right now?
Well, I mean, he'd probably be a second option at the least. I think your primary guy, what you would hope, would be a guy like Dragic, and then he would facilitate for Carmelo. I think they'd have an interesting pick and roll combination. You could work the pick and pop game with Carmelo and Goran Dragic, but you know he's a guy who would slot in and be a guy who can score 17, 18 points a game, maybe even get it to 20 if he's getting more touches. You know, Russell Westbrook and Paul George demand the ball a whole lot more than, you know, Josh Richardson or Deion Waiters would. So it's a situation where Carmelo would get more touches and he'd get more opportunities. So I think he would be a guy who would probably slot in as your number two option, even your number one on some nights.
Hey, back to OKC. Is it a joy? Do players enjoy playing Westbrook? Because his intensity, I love it. He's one of my favorite players, but it might get to his teammates.
It seems like there's kind of a little bit of both. I can see it as a situation where guys don't get the touches that they probably should, or the ball doesn't move as much as it should. But at the same time, you've never had anybody openly come out and say that Russell Westbrook's a bad teammate. These guys all profess that this guy works hard. He's a good teammate. He has the team in mind first, but I think Russell's issue over the past few years has been, you know, he's a guy who said it publicly, like, I have to do everything. And I don't know if that's the mentality that you should necessarily take, even if you are one of the best players in the world. You know, basketball is a five-man game, and, you know, Russell's got to be willing to let go of the reins a little bit some and trust some of these other guys to make plays so that the entire unit can be better. But I don't think the guys don't like playing with Russell Westbrook. I think guys have openly acknowledged that it is difficult to play with Russell Westbrook. That is for certain.
Eric Horn, Thunder beat writer for the Oklahoman. We appreciate you making time for us. We appreciate you pretending that you like that Glenn Frey song that Falero played at the beginning when you came on. That was a very, very polite and gentlemanly thing to do. I apologize. I don't approve. It just happened. It happened beyond my control.
Play the Will Smith next time too, man. I'm from that age. I'm about 32 years old, so I'm from that, you know, mid 90s, late 90s age where Will Smith was just slinging hits, man.
I love Will Smith. Now Crowder hates him. Crowder thinks he's junk, but man,
I wore
Willennium out.
look, he's corny, okay? But he's got the hits. He was slinging hits in the late 90s, man. Every time he put out a movie, he had to put out the hit to go along with it. So
I kind
of grew up in that age. I'm all for it.
That Wild Wild West movie, though, is one of the worst movies ever on film.
It's one of the few movies in my life I've ever walked out on. It was terrible. It was absolutely horrendous.
We had that topic a couple weeks ago, like a movie where you actually paid for. It wasn't a freebie. You paid for, and it was so bad that you actually stood up and said, I can't. It's almost like buying. You bought out the movie. It's a buyout. You go, you know what? I'm going to let you keep your movie. I'm going to let you keep your money. My team, my brain, is better off without you in it. And I did that for Broken Arrow. With John Travolta, you ever see that movie?
Yeah, but you see, Broken Arrow is a low-key rewatchable movie at home.
Oh, no, it's not. Eric, stop it.
It's super rewatchable. I have not seen Wild Wild West since I walked out of it in the theater. And frankly, I haven't seen Kevin Kline since then either. I think his acting career ended in Wild Wild West.
That big spider ate his career.
Yeah, the big mechanical spider that run by the guy who's like a faux Confederacy soldier or whatever. Yeah, it ate his career. And that guy's gone too. Kenneth Branagh, whatever his name is. I haven't seen him in a decade. 20 years ago. Jesus, that was 20 years ago.
Man, we're, movie that bad ruined your whole career.
It does. It'll eat away. I think I saw that in the theater. I think I was excited to see that movie. And I don't think I had the guts. I was like, Pat Riley, do you have the guts to walk out here? I didn't have the guts to walk out. I should have. That movie was garbage. Broken Arrow, you rewatch that, huh, Eric?
Every time it comes on, I rewatch Broken Arrow. I don't ask me why. I just find that movie just compelling.
Have to now question every answer that he gave us today, right? Because
it's one of those good bad Travolta movies. Like for instance, I watch Face Off all the time. It's a terrible movie.
Terrible movie.
I watch it every time.
Right, terrible good movie though. I'm with you. Good and terrible. Good and terrible. But that Broken Arrow is just garbage.
Yeah, and then so is Face Off. But look, the Howie Long acting in that movie is worth it. Just to sit through Howie Long acting is kind of like a joy to me. So
yeah, I really
I'd pay for the Howie Long.
I think I honestly think I walked out after 25 minutes in that movie. Did you tell us, Crowder? Did you think of a movie that you had walked out of a few weeks ago?
No,
I forget you had.
I'm holding out. If I pay,
yeah,
I'm there.
You are sitting through that movie.
Yeah, I'm walking around and getting the old popcorn afterwards.
All right, Eric Horn, beat writer for the Oklahoma City Thunder for the Oklahoman. Thank you for making time for us, Eric.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for my rambling. Thanks for having me.
Enjoyed talking with him. Maybe Mello will end up here. I've talked myself into, in 3 hours and 18 minutes of this show, I have talked myself into why it would be a boon for the Miami Heat.
I don't know if it's going to be great. It's going to make the team more exciting, and I'm down.
That's the two writers that we've had on from Oklahoma today have both said, what a great guy to cover.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought he was surly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.